Page one. Grams. Big epic musical introduction. Effects. Dramatic crash of thunder. Narrator. Brackets. Fred Onecko. And now the most exciting development in BBC drama since the off switch. Yes, a new series more gripping than a doctor saying, cough, please, sir. In 500 trillion zillion run of the million and you foot the billion weekly episode, we present the complete set of plays not written by William Shakespeare. This week, The Homecoming by Harold Pinter. Page two. Grams. Music fades out. Effects. Door opens. Teddy, I'm home. Page three. Page four. Page five. Max. Oh, so you are. Page six. Page seven. Page eight. Page nine. Teddy, yes. Page ten. Page 11. Page 12.
Well, we apologise for the slight loss of budget on this radio comedy programme. We're doing our best to put this right for you, but in the meantime, the programme will continue in a tea lady reading out the script only.
Fake continuity announcer, brackets Joe. Well, we apologise for the slight loss of budget on this radio comedy programme. We're doing our best.
Well, we're very pleased to say that a man in Clapham has just bought a television licence, thus guaranteeing BBC Radio's full budget for another 12 months.
The time here now on Radio 4 is just past Lord Reith. So over straight away to Television Centre and Money.
This is BBC Two Obscure.
And now yet another most ambitious and expensive documentary series ever undertaken by the BBC. Over 19 David Attenboroughs in the making. The programme features BBC camera crews flying to all the most exotic locations in the world, plus six new ones they built specially. With money left over from their lunch allowances.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another sparkling edition of Davy Frost's Global Clipboard. And here it is, David Frost.
Thank you very much. Hello, good evening, and welcome to my comeback. Well, just before we came on the air there, while the carpenters were still screwing my eyes up, you heard two highly zany extracts from both ends of the broadcasting spectrum. One from BBC Radio, which is stricken with poverty, and the other from BBC Television, which is also stricken with poverty, but slings money around like there's no tomorrow. And those extracts raise an important issue. Is Britain going completely wacky? Well, to discuss and generally shout about that, we have in the studio today a number of interested parties sitting perched on ludicrous boxes like battery hens. Now, I want to go, first of all, to the executive producer who made that documentary series Things, Norman James Lights Fused at the Christening.
Good evening.
Mr. Lights Fused at the Christening. The question I must put to you is this. Will you marry me?
Yes.
Wrong. Now, a lot of people told you that programmes like Things are making an excessive demand for laughs, which the audience as a whole just cannot afford.
I disagree.
But But don't you think your claim for 155 boffos, 30 chortles a week, an increase of 82 woofers in real terms, is a little irresponsible?
No, what I think is irresponsible is the BBC's derisory offer of 12 yawns, 40 winks. It may be good enough for Call My Bluff, let's face it, anyone is these days, but it's not good enough for us. It's not good enough for us. And by and large, we in television believe the viewer is behind us. That way he doesn't have to watch the screen.
All right. You mentioned the BBC Two viewer there, and we do have him with us. The minority of Oswald Mosley, Chris and Southall.
Get somebody else.
Mr. Minority, you watch BBC Two regularly, I believe.
Yes, doctors have operated, but apparently there's no cure.
I know how you feel. And in addition to watching BBC Two a lot, I understand Robert Robinson is your number one fan.
No. It's the other way round.
Oh, yes, sorry. Robert Robinson is his number one fan.
Correct.
Mr. Minority, what's your reaction to the remarks of Mr. Knightsfield in the Crisning?
Well, I think it's a despicable state of affairs. I mean, listen, I'm a married man with 23 children and two eyelids to support.
Gentlemen at the back, sitting next to the organiser of the Eamon Andrews Disaster Fund.
Mr. Minority wants to get his facts right. There's some of us back in Ireland are having to struggle by on as little as 27 sniggers a week. And I would like to see some of these people here do the dirty jokes. We have to and see how they'd like it.
Yes, Mr. Seamus on the move. Your dirty jokes, whether they are on unofficial strike at the moment and a generally scrubbing lavatory humour, what about your colleagues in the Irish government? I understand some of them are under-secretaries.
I'm sorry, I'm not saying that.
But you and your workers were so angry, you wrote to the Labour Party threatening to cut off your ties, allegedly because you couldn't undo the knot.
I am on unofficial strike, Mr. Wicker, and not answering that feedline.
And about the ties wasn't even dirty.
You didn't see where we tied them. Oh, no!
Well, I'd like at this stage to pick up the point someone made earlier about a despicable state of affairs, and I'll be talking to the person involved afterwards. Here it comes now.
Ah, what a beautiful day it is here in our lovable cottage in the middle of the lovable Yorkshire Dales, Birmingham. Ah, hello, Siegfried.
Hello, Helen. Hello, Dr. Cameron.
Hello, Dr. Finlay.
What a good day, Siegfried.
Just another cow job.
Cow job? What does that involve?
Well, nothing you need worry about. Where's the soap?
Hello, James.
Hello, Helen. Hello, Dr. Cameron.
Hello, Dr. Finlay.
James, what was that you were doing to that cow outside?
Nothing, Helen. I don't want to talk about it. Pass the nail brush, would you say, friend?
Certainly. I say, would you just scrub my shoulder around the back here?
Certainly.
Farmer actor Desperate for Parts rang earlier on.
Oh, yes.
He said something about thank you for the work you did on his cow. Mm. It's looking a lot better now. He said he's sure it's because you had a hand in it.
Oh, yes. I say, pass me that pumice stone, please, James.
What did he mean? What did you do?
Helen, it's something far too unpleasant to mention on Radio 4.
Oh.
But quite nice enough to show in colour on BBC One at tea time.
Hello, Dr. Finlay.
No, I didn't say anything, Dr. Cameron.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Finlay.
Dr. Cameron?
Yes, Dr. Finlay.
You think it's a bit rude just to walk uninvited into someone else's television series?
You're right. Get out.
And here with me now in the front row of the rabble is the man who wrote and starred in that scene, Mr. James Honours List Fuss.
Oh, yes,
Mr. Honours List Fuss, does it worry you that certain people might be offended by the open madcapness of that last item?
Not at all, Mr. Burke, you'll see.
Frost.
I know what I mean. You see, I am committed to the establishment of a totally surrealist state in this country. Yes, I am. A surrealist state with totally wacky medical services. And I feel very...
Well, let's raise that question with Dr. Douglas, that is correct, David, of the Department of Health and Insecurity. Dr. That is correct, David. I understand you are a qualified medical practitioner and a sore body expert of long standing.
That is correct, David.
And before that, you worked in the Stepney Maternity and General Accident Wing, and whenever someone was injured in a road crash, you were the one who had to call in a priest to try and comfort their insurance company.
That is correct, David.
I see. So, what exactly is happening today in our hospitals?
Well, broadly speaking, this.
Nurse, go and treat that man in bed 14, would you? It's his birthday.
Okay, good, sister. I go now.
I say, excuse me, sister. I wonder if you can help me.
Plastic surgery's down the corridor.
No. I've got a question to ask you.
Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, you're very kind, but that wasn't the question. It's my wife, you see. She was involved in two accidents this morning. She crashed her car into a brick wall, a concrete bollard, and Olivia Newton-John OBE.
That's three accidents, sir.
No, only two accidents.
Want Dr. Flinson. He's dealing with all casualty ops today. That's his office just through here.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what's the problem then, Pope?
Well, I wanted to know how the treatment was progressing on my wife.
Well, I don't know till I've checked, do I, Mahatma? What colour was she?
I'm sorry.
What colour?
Well, sort of flesh colour, Doctor.
Hang on. Dennis! Have we had an off-pink female in? Denty down the right-hand side. Won't keep you long, District Attorney. Everybody loves somebody sometimes.
Just a moment. What were all those men in boiler suits doing in that operating theatre?
Just a second, Dalai Lama. West Ryslip General Hospital. What's that? You've just been run over by a steamroller, sir or madam? Oh, no, not before Christmas now, Sheriff. What blood group? Oh, blimey, what is this? Old time musical? No chance, Dauphin, no chance at all, no. No, you can't get the corpuscles now, sorry. It's a pleasure, sir. A pleasure. No, real pleasure. Nice when you disappoint someone, isn't it?
Look, about my wife.
Hang about, ref. Dennis, is that old geezer's thrust ready yet? Only I can't keep him hanging about much longer. Won't be long now, Procurator Fiscal.
Now, just a moment. About my wife.
One second, if you please, Scipio. West Ryslip General Hospital. Oh, yeah, 1921 grandmother, I remember, yeah. Be ready a week Wednesday, Master of Foxhounds. Yeah, well, we had her up on the ramp, looked her over, you know. It was basically a fault in your overhead cranium mounted on dodgy twin atlas and axis neck joints. Yeah, so we put a new head on for you. No, looks all right. We had a spare left over from a London bus conductor. Quick respray for the treat, okay? Bye. I left my heart.
Look, I don't like the sound of this.
All right then, sabbatical dean of humanities, how about the sound of this?
We present Just a Minute, and as the minute waltz fades away, here's the man who doesn't, a replica a replica of Nicholas Parsons made from moldy semolina.
Hello, hello, and it's nice to welcome you to another show. But unfortunately, this isn't another show, it's just a minute. First, a very simple reminder of the rules. Kenneth Williams loses. Well, our special guest tonight is Mrs. Elizabeth Gaskell, the Victorian authoress, who is, of course, dead. That's no handicap here on radio, as I've proved. So, Mrs. Gaskell, we start with you, and you have 60 seconds in which to write the novel Emma, starting from now.
Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, and rich, with a comfortable home and happy disposition, seemed to unite some of the best blessings of existence, and had lived nearly 20 years when...
A repetition.
Yes, yes, quite right there, Nicholas. It was exactly the same when Jane Austen wrote it. The score at the end of that round is Ian Messiter, lots of money. So, now we move back to you, Kenneth, and you have just a minute to write the Bible, starting now.
And in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and into the Garden of Eden, he set forth Adam and Eve.
Yes, what do you want?
Morning, Tosh. Like to buy some apples, know what I mean?
No, thank you. I've got a bad stomach.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Thank you. No. Yes?
Morning, Tosh.
Good morning. Hang on. You look a bit like that snake in a pinstripe suit that was trying to sell me apples.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are related.
Related?
Yeah, we're both the only child of the same parents. Now, look. can I interest you in some encyclopedias? I mean, this is how the volumes go. Look, volume one, aerosols to building societies. Volume two, bullocks to Carter. Volume three, cobblers to Esther Ransom.
Just a second. Let me have a closer look at that volume one. It doesn't taste much like an encyclopedia to me. I reckon you're that snake again trying to sell me apples.
I am not honest.
Blimey, you've got to watch what you say around here.
Now, who can that be?
Oh, hello, person whom I have never clapped eyes on before. I'm from the Camden Borough Council. I'm doing a census.
You mean census?
No, I told you I'm from Camden Borough Council.
What's that on your head, then?
Where?
All those apples, oranges and bananas.
Oh, those? Well, that's dandruff.
Dandruff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Very fat, Sandra.
Look, you're that snake again, and I am not buying any apples.
Well, in that case, I shall just have to tell you, Tosh, you are naked.
Naked?
A deviation.
Quite right there, Nicholas. So you have 30 seconds left in which to finish the Bible, starting from now.
Mr. Bunter, come in to sit down. Fellow governors, this is Mr. William Bunter.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Now then, Mr. Bunter, I think we're all pretty well clued up as to why you've been sent for here today.
Oh, crikey.
Sorry?
Nothing. Do carry on.
Well, if I may summarise the case...
Nothing at all.
If I may summarise the case, when we took you on to teach here at Lowestoft County Grammar School for advanced games field sadism, it was primarily because of the excellent record set by your distinguished colleagues from Greyfriars.
Yes, indeed.
A Bob Cherry made a fortune marketing a load of cherries. Fisher T. Fish made a fortune selling a load of fish.
Johnny Bull made a fortune writing ITV sitcoms. And, of course, Frank Nugent and Harry Wharton made very good friends.
Yes,
I also noticed, Mr. Bunter, that you won particular distinction at university by being the only Oxbridge graduate not given their own TV series when they left.
That's correct.
Fine, fine. On then to your little problem.
Oh, yummy.
Mr. Bunter, would you say there was anything wrong with the meals we serve in the canteen here?
Oh, Lord, oh, Christ, oh, God.
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir.
In that case, one is tempted to wonder why, since you were appointed assistant fat owl of the mathematics department, why you've been resorting to other sources for your supply of foodstuffs. I am referring, of course, to the boys.
I'm sorry, sir. I maintain my innocence to this day over the entire trivial and trifling affair.
Mr. Bunker, it is the opinion of this committee that there is nothing trivial or trifling about your eating Adam's Minor of the Second Form during sipping.
This was never proved, sir.
Traces of his cup were found in your mouth afterwards.
Oh, crikey!
I have here a letter from a parent who claims you told the Colts' second 15 rugger team that smearing themselves with soft margarine and tying slices of bread around their chests was official practice in gym training, and that lashings of Branston pickle topped by globules of Daddy's tomato ketchup were the school's regular colours when playing away from home.
Who snakes alive?
Quite frankly, Mr. Bunter, cannibalism among members of the teaching staff is something we cannot tolerate.
Is it against the rules, then?
It would hardly be in accordance with the rules, would it, Mr. Bunter, to grill the lower sixth applied studies set for breakfast, then follow it with a light lunch of O-level retake group kebabs?
It was coca, sir.
What?
It was coca, sir.
Everyone in the refectory was watching you, Mr. Bunter.
Yes, well, he looks a bit like me. We both have the same number of legs and things. Two legs and three things. It must have been coca.
Mr. Bunter, we don't even have anyone here called coca.
This has gone far enough. Have you any idea how much you're costing this school in compensation, games, insurance and hush money? Expense is phenomenal. Mr. Bunter, about £90,000 a week. I'm waiting for an answer, Mr. Bunter.
I'm expecting a postal order, sir.
What?
I'm expecting a postal order from my Aunt Judy.
Oh, that's all right, then.
You will let us know when it arrives, won't you?
Certainly, sir.
All right, send the next one in.
Yes, sir.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to me making yet another comeback. Well, that rather blatantly wacky intermission was taken from the controversial former radio show, The Burgess Way. And I'd like at this point to bring in the people who used to form the cast of that show. Careful with the wheelbarrows. There we are. Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Reese and Fred Terris. And here's the person who manages to keep them all looking so fresh and young all the time. BBC taxidermist, Julian Job Satisfaction. And here's their producer, David Hatch of the BBC. Hatch, who was the one who told them to go and see the taxidermist in the first place. And over here on the front row, we have Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, who actually used to write the series for radio before looking up the word payment in the dictionary.
Yeah, sure. Good evening.
Now, Mr. Marshall and David Renwick, or may I call you Andrew?
No.
Does it concern you that there are many people in this studio either still awake or just responding to mouth-to-boot resuscitation? Feel you went too far with your zany comedy, in some cases as far as Luton and Captain.
Well, no, not really, no. See, I'd like to point out, see, that I did, in fact, also write this.
I'm sorry?
This show of yours. I'm afraid this studio, all the people in it, and even you yourself, are entirely figments of my imagination.
I don't want to dwell on that too much, really, so let's... It's getting hot in here. I'll have to peel off a layer of charisma. That's better. Now, let's go over here where we have an angry radio listener. And your name, sir, is Eric.
And you can hear part two of that program at the same time next week. And you can hear part two of that program at the same time next week.